The following show may include discussions of violence, exploitation, or other forms of abuse. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1. KXRW and NWK present Spotlight for Justice with Michelle Bart. Crime victims are not being heard, much less provided justice in our country. We'll have real, raw conversations and share stories about injustices in our legal system that hopefully will motivate you into action. Together, we can fight for a more just society.
Welcome to Spotlight for Justice, a radio show by our nonprofit, the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, other known as NWK. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, and today we are thrilled to hear from our interns at NWK, Eden, Faith, and Natalie, in our back-to-school episode. So parents, grandparents, and students alike, tune in and listen loud. Welcome, Eden, Faith, and Natalie.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about school life. We have two students with us that are in high school at Evergreen School District and Vancouver School District, and one that is already in college. And all three interns come to us from the nonprofit in Vancouver called Next. Highly suggest it. They're paid interns, and they're working on behalf of Next for NW Cave. And so we do appreciate our friends at Next. So listen, how are you guys?
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing really well.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm really excited.
So students today have a lot on their plate. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah.
Summer's almost over. So to the high schoolers, Eden and Faith, tell us, our listeners, what you're looking forward to with going back to school.
Do you want to take this one or do you want to?
I can go first. Yeah. I think the only thing I'm looking forward to is just seeing friends again. Surprisingly, I never hung out with any of my friends throughout this summer. So I just feel like if it's more of like a mandated arrival on like school grounds, like it would be easier to interact with my fellow peers and friends.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Faith?
I'm really looking forward to kind of like club involvement and just kind of having that schedule where I can rely on, I'm doing this every day. And I have something to look forward to every week, which I think is just really, it's really nice to have that kind of keep going. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to just kind of seeing everybody again, kind of having that dopamine boost at the beginning of the first week.
So if you're going back to school and you're enjoying the club involvement, are you going to be joining different clubs as a senior than you've been in, or are you going back to the same clubs?
Well, I'm a little bit of a wallflower. So my first 2 years in high school, I didn't really do much, and I was really nervous and I was really shy to kind of join clubs. And so last year I had this like comeuppance where I decided, you know what, I'm going to push myself and I'm going to join like eight clubs.
Eight clubs?
Wow. Good for you, Faith.
It was quite a bit. And I was like, it was a little overwhelming, but it was really nice because it was just like every lunch I was busy and I was doing something and I was meeting new people.
You had something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like really nice to connect with new people in that way. Yeah. So I think this next year I'm going to try to outdo myself, maybe see if I can join any more.
More clubs?
So how do you both as seniors gonna be doing 8 to 10 clubs? How do you balance that with homework and academics and planning for college?
It's definitely gonna be, I think it's gonna be like a meteor is hitting almost, because I think it's gonna be a little bit of a shell shock, because the first couple weeks, you know, you're adjusting and you start these clubs and you meet these new people and it's really nice and everything's really welcoming, and then the work starts to hit. And yeah. I think it's one of those things that you take it as it comes, But in the past year, I just kind of relied on my family and my hobbies to just kind of, I don't know, like detox almost from everything.
Yeah.
And it really just kept me in focus for what I needed to get done.
What about you, Eden? How many clubs are you in?
I haven't actually joined any clubs throughout my high school years, to be honest. One, because last year I was in the Evergreen School District, actually, for the first semester before moving. And because I had moved from my previous foster placement to an apartment, it was like a really long distance away from the school. The staff wouldn't be able to like properly transport me.
Right.
Unless I like started using public transit. And to be honest, even then, the clubs just didn't really seem as interesting to me. It just, I would see the posters and stuff being like, oh, join our club. But I don't know. It just never really like hooked onto me.
Right. So maybe this year they will.
Maybe. Yeah.
What about you, Natalie? You're in college already. So what are you looking forward to? And
Probably like the thing that's on my mind every single day is reuniting with my friends. I chose to become best friends with the four people who live the furthest away from me from college. I've got Spokane, New Mexico, and Reno.
Oh,
our group. And I just found the light of my life. They're like the most amazing people. I am really, really like happy with how my freshman year went, and all the things that I got involved with just presented me with the best people ever. And I miss them every day. So I can't wait to see them and
meet
them.
You know, I get how that feels. I'm actually going to a summer camp next month. And the camp that I'm going to, it's friendly to all races, genders, sex, et cetera. And, I didn't even know that a lot of people, like, all over the state would, like, come to Seattle specifically for this camp.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, I would, I've met people from Spokane, Oregon. There was even someone from California.
Wow.
That like went on a plane specifically for the camp, and it was amazing.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So back to you, Natalie. What clubs or sororities, I guess, are the thing in colleges?
Yes, I am a part of Kappa Alpha Theta. It was one of the most amazing decisions I've ever done in my life. Lots of philanthropy work. That's the main reason I joined into Greek life, because I worked in philanthropy all throughout high school in different organizations. And I viewed it as like I want to go in college and come out of it knowing that I did more than just get a degree.
Yeah.
I want to be proud of the time I spent and all the extracurriculars I did. I want them to have a purpose. And it's been amazing. I've gotten a lot of great experiences and great people.
And in college life and balancing everything and I assume a job, time management. How do college students do time management with, you know, sororities versus academics, job?
It was definitely a big step. I think a huge part of that is the amount of independence college students gain. I mean, when you're at home, like, you can kind of depend on everybody else in your house to, like, be on a schedule. But when you're on your own, you have to make that from scratch for yourself. I found that it was best for me to be busy every single day. And like Faith said, I'm a person where if I have free time, I go crazy. So I obviously education is first for me. Like I'm there at college for college. I'm getting a degree. So that's always first. And then I prioritize like being active every single day because it's hard to get, or it's easy to get into a rut of just like school and just school. And that's why being a part of clubs and Greek life or anything where you're like around people or doing something with your time is super important. So I think for me, how I stay productive and proactive is just to kind of build up my schedule and just take a part of everything.
Awesome. So let me ask all three of you a question. We'll go around. What are your plans after high school, Eden?
Oh, man. To be honest, I really do not know. I thought about joining a college, but then, like, the whole question of what college do I want to go to freaked me out. But I'm just focusing on the plan of because of the fact I am almost 18, the foster care system, like, has, like, an option to join extended foster care.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who don't know what happens with foster kids who grow out of the system. And I am planning to move back to my hometown with my sister. So that way we could interact with each other more and, like, make up for lost time, because we haven't lived with each other for, like, 5 years. Yeah, it would be really fun to hang out with her again and being able to be at least within walking distance. But, yeah.
And then figure out life from there.
Yeah.
What about you, Faith?
I have some pretty big aspirations. I want to be a pediatrician, but I know that things change and I'm young, so I really am just aiming for a career in healthcare. Right now, the school I go to is kind of tailored towards that, so they help you in sort of finding a career, or they more target you towards a career in healthcare where you learn about, you know, you're not only working with a certain patient, you're working with a number of patients, and you have to understand that you have to treat them all differently. It's really just, like, preparing you for not only, like, technical doctor skills and whatnot, but just patient skills and working with people. So I'm hoping to aim for that in my future.
Sounds like doctor is in your future. Dr. Faith. What about you, Natalie?
After high school?
After college.
Oh, gosh.
You got, what, 3 years left?
Yeah. I mean, right
and
now.
And what are you majoring in?
My major is organizational leadership with a focus in communications and criminal justice. I've kind of switched it around, like, 8 times since I've been at college, but all kind of aiming around the same thing. Obviously, getting into work right out of college would be great. Right now, I'm on track to graduate my junior year if I want to, so I'll probably stay and get my MBA or just higher education while I'm there. I haven't thought too much about after college. Just, like, during college, more years, I would love to.
You're still young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've been listening to Spotlight for Justice. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
KXRW is supported by founding partners Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs and within their budget. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in the Uptown Village neighborhood. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back. You've been listening to Spotlight for Justice here on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm Michelle Bart, your host for today, and we are talking with three young adults in regards to back to school. So before the break, we were talking about your aspirations for the future after you get out of high school, on to college, what you all wanted to be. But quick, like, you know, what are the reasons that one would want to intern with any organization, let alone NW Cave? Natalie?
Yeah, I'll start. My story with how I got in contact with NW Cave started my sophomore year of high school. My volleyball team and I started a fundraiser. Well, going back, I grew up in a household where community service was always a huge thing. I recognize that Vancouver has so many organizations that are amazing and need our support. So I've just always been involved in that. Sophomore year of high school, my volleyball team and I created a fundraiser called Pass for a Purpose. And what it was just raising money for a local nonprofit while having a boys volleyball tournament. But the organization we started with was Children's Center Mental Health. And then going into my junior year of high school, my volleyball team and I actually ran into a situation of trafficking. And without the information that we had previously gotten from an organization called Shared Hope International, we wouldn't have gotten out of that situation safely. So we started raising money for Shared Hope. And then I really started to realize how big of an issue violence, exploitation, and things like that are, especially here. It kind of goes without saying, but the problem is that people think it's too sensitive of a subject to talk about, so people don't talk about it enough. And then I met Michelle. I came in about a year ago just to hear about the organization and talk about it, and I knew instantly that it's a beautiful organization that I wanted to become a part of, because it's not easy for me to see all the hate, destruction, violence in the world and just like from the back, just support it. I want to be a part of making a difference.
And well, then, we appreciate you being on our team. What about you, Faith?
I think that, well, part of the reason why I wanted to join with you guys and part of the reason why I think nonprofits are so important is because there is so much going on in the world right now. There's so much going on everywhere, and I think that there's not enough compassion and people are pitting themselves against other people. And I think that to have organizations like yours that are working so hard to put an end to violence and things of that nature, where you're bringing an opportunity for people to be heard and be seen and bringing that compassion and that empathy back, I think that's such a powerful thing. And with your nonprofit and with others, I think it's something that more people need to be involved in.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. What about you, Eden?
The reason why I joined to be an intern at NW Cave, well, the first things first, went with the next program to just get some form of internship for experience. When I was introduced to NW Cave, I didn't hear of it. I didn't know about it at first until I directly met Michelle. But the reason why I accepted this internship is because I am, I wouldn't say victim, but survivor of exploitation and abuse. And the thing is, like, throughout my childhood, there were times where I had openly talked about me being exploited and abused to peers and such.
And adults.
Yeah, and adults. And no one said a thing. No one had, like,
No one helped you.
Yeah, no one helped me. And that just showed, like, how hushed this topic of, like, abuse and exploitation is. Like, it's not really taken seriously. And it's just, like, it's always, like, a hush-hush, like, thing to talk about. Like, oh, that's not appropriate to talk about in public, even though, like, it's a really, like, it's a really bad thing that's happening everywhere.
If we don't see, if you see something, we say, you must say something. And that would be my next question to all of you is, you know, knowing your story, Eden, and how you got involved, Natalie, and where you're going with especially a pediatric doctor endeavor. There's so much that you all take on these days that I did not 30, 40 years ago when I was your age. And that is, you know, we have lockdowns. People don't realize that every time that there's a drill of a lockdown for students from K through 12, it is stressful. But then some of you have actually had actual lockdowns for security purposes. Faith, mm-hmm. tell me a little bit about that.
So from what I remember, there's been two big ones that kind of stand out to me, which they're from a while ago, but my first one was in elementary school. There was somebody out on our playground who seemingly had some sort of weapon, and they were not of a sober mind, and our school had to lock down, and it was, as a kid, you don't really understand, and so it was definitely a little scary because mm-hmm. you're all huddled into, I think it was our gymnasium, so it's like our entire school, and it was just very, it was very stressful because you recognize the stress of the adults and you might not understand, but it's just kind of
this confusion. You absorb it.
Yeah. And then the second instance was a little later in middle school, and there was a huge lockdown, and it was right after we started like going to in-person school after COVID, and there was some sort of incident where somebody had robbed a local convenience store down the road, and they were armed and they ran across our school. And it was something that there's no information being let to anybody in this mm-hmm. in the school. You automatically lock down and you're expected to just sit there in the dark, and you don't know if you're going to be able to contact your parents. You're told not to contact your parents. You're told to just sit there. And it's definitely a very...
It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful, and you absorb that. And at, like, to your point, mm-hmm. you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Eden, you said you had an experience?
Yes. It was actually last year at the Evergreen District. And... basically what happened was apparently there's these group of guys that had like a BB gun, but it was like, it obviously no one could tell it was a BB gun because like
right.
a gun, it still looks like a gun.
Guns are guns.
And I was currently going to my third or fourth period until I was like hearing like screaming and people like running, like they were either darting out of school bounds or rushing into classrooms. And I actually did not know what was going on. So I just went into my English class because I was freaking out. And my teacher still had her freshman class in there. And that was when the alarm went off and the announcement was like, oh, there is someone holding a weapon nearby the school.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel terrified. For sure, because there was people like running and screaming. So like it was like genuine blood-curdling screams.
So let me ask you both a question. How do you get back into the mode of doing school after that happens?
I think it's really hard to. I think even for the teachers, it's really hard to, because the pressure that's put on our educators to just sit there and they can't tell us anything.
They may not know anything either.
Yeah. And it's just like a tension that you kind of feel looming over you for the rest of the day and maybe even the rest of the week or the rest of the school year. So I think it's just kind of having people knowing that there are people in your corner and that there are people who experience that with you, mm-hmm. who you can kind of lean on.
What about you, Natalie?
I went to school my whole life, obviously. There's been lockdown drills and possible actual lockdowns my whole life. But the thing that sticks out to me, and it's kind of a different perspective, it's almost the perspective of like when someone you know is in the lockdown. For me, my brother and I, he also goes to the same college as me. We're very close. I would say he's my best friend. I had gotten a message that the high school he was at was in an actual lockdown. Mm. And that feeling was like the scariest thing ever because you have no clue. You can't get a hold of them. It ended up being a misunderstanding with a weapon that looked like an actual gun. It was a water gun, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was the scariest moment of my life because I was hearing all these people getting locked out of the school, like nobody knew if it was real or fake, and I couldn't get a hold of my brother. I couldn't imagine how my parents felt. So it's just like the fear of the outside also when you know mm-hmm. someone who's in that situation.
And a lot of trauma, not only uh-huh. for you and the staff and people within the school, but also the people on the outside waiting for answers and waiting to put their hands around their children. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was about to say, I just remembered there's this one other situation that was like quite serious. And this was back when my sister was in high school. She's 3.5 years older than me. But during the time, like it was a high school in Arlington, Washington, there was a lockdown because one of the kids had planted a pipe bomb into the toilets. And thank goodness it was faulty. It just started smoking up and the janitor was able to find it in time. But yes, and like everybody was forced to go to the gym and huddle up, and it nearly took like 2 hours to get my sister out of there.
So you've been listening to Spotlight for Justice, and if you or your children need help, check with NAMI, especially NAMI Southwest Washington. You can always call 988 or visit 988lifeline.org. And for more information on resources for anything for young adults, students, and adults alike, visit nwcave.org/help. As you can tell, this conversation could go on for another hour with these young students. Unfortunately, our time is almost up, but again, visit nwcave.org/help. Remember, if you see something, say something. We have Aaron's Law on the books for sexual assault, especially in the school districts. There are so many things you can do, but first make that call to 911 and let us not get in situations as we've heard these students mention on today's show. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay safe, be kind, and become an intern. Thank you.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to Spotlight for Justice here on KXRW. We'll be back soon with more stories of how we can all advocate for a world without violence.
I'm living a dream just meant for me. Roll out the red carpet and treat me like a queen. It's my life.